see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor-adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon. Surprise, it's us back in your podcast feeds. It's the off-season, but we have a special treat for us and for you today. If you've been following along with our live shows, we've been recapping season one of The Bachelor.
And we have our very last live show coming up on November 21st at the Bell House in Brooklyn.
That's next Thursday, not Thanksgiving.
Not Thanksgiving week. We will be recapping the finale of season one with actress and friend of the pod, Erin Dark, and a super freaking exciting surprise guest who is a major player in season one. Seriously, you don't want to miss this. It's going to be such a party.
Yes, tickets are still available. You can get them at thebellhouseny.com. We'll also put the link in our show notes. And like Emma said, it's going to be so fun. We had an amazing time at our first Bell House show this summer. We're really psyched to go back, and we're really excited to talk to our surprise guest. If you've been watching season one along with this series, or if you've ever watched it, I think you'll want to hear from this person.
To really prep you for that finale episode, we're doing a special bonus episode on the very first Women Tell All. There is a lot to say.
So much. It's kind of sad that we didn't have space in our tour schedule to do a live Women Tell All episode, but it's a different format from the other episodes, obviously, so it makes sense for us to do it in a different format as well.
So let's just dive in. We have 23 women back. They've been rejected, and they're back to talk to each other and be slightly bullied by Chris Harrison.
Chris was not quite the polished gentleman.
He's really grown.
Today. He's a young, feckless man, just like trying to be funny at the wrong moments, which we can relate to.
We have Lisa, Paula, Christina, Denise, Wendy, Jill, Daniela, Angela, Jackie, Kathy, Melissa, Shannon, Rachel, Angelique, Alexa, Rhonda, Amber, Christina, Katie, Amy, Lanice, Kim and Tina. So the women are kind of scattered around, you know, not in bleachers like they are now. They're in trios or pairs, just like thrown around the room in on a series of couches. It looks much cozier than today.
You can really see the evolution of the TV aesthetic over time. Like now we have these like very uniform little like chairs sort of aligned all closely together. This is sort of like they got a bunch of like the couches from the set of Friends and just like bulked them all together. It's sort of a coffee shop vibe.
It's loungy.
Yeah. And I will say, all the way back to the first season of the show, some of the women have the Women Tell All glow up.
I know, you love to see it.
Yeah.
It was much tamer. Again,
tamer.
The insults were tamer. The Glow-ups were tamer.
Not all of the glow-ups were tamer, because we have everything from, like,
Kathy
decided
did get
to
a boob job.
Yeah, we have everything from I decided to crimp my hair this time to a boob job, which becomes a major plot point on the episode. Lisa went the opposite of hair crimping and straightened her hair, which also seemed to be lighter. We didn't really hear from Lisa.
No, we didn't.
I feel like she looked back, at, as they often do, and was like, I was like the lawyer with like...
The natural curly hair.
Natural curly hair and a turtleneck.
It makes me kind of sad.
I know. I wanted to hear more from her about how it was watching back. I loved Lisa. She was like, talked to her dog and just admitted
it. I know. I was into her too. So Chris kind of says like, we're going to have a good time. And then he says it again. We're going to really have a good time.
No one believed it.
Yeah.
But we do have a good time.
We do have a good time. And then he kind of opens by asking them, you know, why did you do this show? And I thought this was very interesting because, again, this is the first season. Clearly there had been a ton of media attention and a ton of pretty like misogynistic backlash framing these women as desperate and, you know, just willing to marry any man who comes their way.
It's sort of like the show is so degrading and therefore the women are trash because
they're
willing
to
be
like,
degraded.
The culture is degrading. so the women are sort of asked in this moment to like justify their decisions.
And then he says, Amy, I see a smirk on your face. What's that about? And Amy says, well, I've answered this question so many times by now. I've tried so many ways to meet a great guy. I've tried bars. I've tried online dating, which in 2002 was really, really bold and edgy.
I know. There were not many online dating sites then.
And she was like, this just seemed like another way to meet someone. And everyone on
stage is like, yeah.
Jackie says that the hardest part has been dealing with the media. Heard that before. And people just asking, so, like, you really just wanted to, like, marry some guy you met on TV? And she says, look, you know, we're all just intelligent, attractive women. We have our reasons for doing this. It's not that we're, like...
desperate.
Yeah.
Also, let's be clear. The vast majority, I mean, probably all of these women, none of them wanted to marry Alex.
No. I think what's weird is that, like, they had to do so much justifying of how desperate they were at the time because it was a new concept. And now we all just accept that it's a normal-ish thing that people do for their own reasons. And some of those reasons are to travel or to take a break from work or to up your influencer numbers. But at the same time, I think the show has gotten much more effective at actually convincing people on the show that they desperately want to marry the lead. Whereas at the time, everyone assumed these women must be desperate to marry the lead, but most of them actually were not.
No.
We just didn't know that there could be other reasons to go on the show yet. And Lanice even says she saw it as like a blind date.
Which totally makes sense to me.
Yeah. It's just like a really committed blind date.
It's a really committed blind date. But like it I'm sure it was just as it is now. Very flattering to be told you are cool and hot enough to go on TV.
Yeah.
You are picked. And also you might meet like a really successful, interesting, attractive man. I mean, look, I was single for a very long time, and the thought of someone else doing the labor of doing the picking is incredibly appealing. So, like, I understand that instinct.
I do. I mean,
I wouldn't go on a TV show. Just also, I would not be selected to go on a TV show. But, like, I'm just saying, I understand these women's reasoning.
I think for a lot of them, you know, it's not about this is my, like, last choice even.
No.
It's just, like, reality TV is this kind of new, cool thing. Like,
I'm being offered this opportunity. It wasn't that big of a time commitment back then.
Yeah.
And, like, I might get a boyfriend out of it.
Yeah. Danielle is like, look around. Do we look desperate? I don't think so. Chris laughs and says, of course I'm going to say no. Because, you know, women are crazy. And
Chris is so...
You can't disagree with them to their
benevolently
face.
Benevolently misogynist during this whole thing. Like,
I got
buddy.
Really strong vibes from that moment where that he was sort of being like, wink, wink, I would say so if you weren't here.
Yeah, like, oh, don't want the claws to come out on me or else I would definitely call you all a bunch of desperate losers.
And then he asked Kim what her family thought of... of Alex because, of course, she was one of the hometown dates before getting sent home.
Kim really came off well in this episode. She was delightful. She's like, yeah, honestly, my family was pretty relieved when I came home, like, not engaged to Alex.
Yeah. It's funny because I think a lot of the women, their families are not too hard on Alex when they first meet him. And, like, they'll say, like, oh, my parents loved you. And, like, oh, he seems great. But – and Alex's family, it turns out, is much more harsh and judgmental. But then we hear from Kim and, like, Trista later said, I think, as well, that her family didn't
– not into him.
Really super want them to get married. But she said, you know, it was hard bringing him home because not many guys have met her family. And then it – like, to watch it back, I can only imagine to be like, I brought this guy home to meet my family and he only did it because he thought that I, like, had super blonde hair.
Oh, yeah.
Must just be so – demoralizing. And then we see some footage of the contestants watching episode one with their friends and family.
Yeah, like some of the major players of the season. We see Rhonda first, who is significantly more chilled out on this episode and also looks fantastic.
Yeah.
And she... It turns out she has a new boyfriend, Ryan, who she met like the first night she went out after she got off the show. And he's really supportive and watching the first episode with her and says, like, it's her night. Really lovely.
Seemed like a really sweet guy.
Yeah. Rhonda's just kind of laughing. She's like, yeah, none of my loved ones understood that The Bachelor was a real show until they saw it on television.
Fair enough. It's hard to believe it's real now. We see them, like, all watching her comment about how she would never have sex on the first date, and her boyfriend's, like, patting her shoulder and laughing.
They're like, woo!
I was like, she really found the right people for her.
Yeah.
Lanice, we see watching with just a few friends, and she says that she was in a weird place when she went on the show because she had just gotten out of her first relationship where she was really in love, which she talked about on the show. A bit more openly than you would normally do now. But I feel like that is kind of a common thing for female contestants that I've heard in the past of, like, oh, either I'm, like, going to show him what he's missing or, like, it's kind of the equivalent of doing, like, a dramatic haircut. Like, I'm free now. I can do whatever I want. I can go on The Bachelor. And she says to her friends that Alex was really nice because he used to be a dork. And
I love Lanice, and she seems to be quite beloved by the other women.
She seems like she's full of, like, the milk of human kindness.
Yeah, you know? I'm just really, really into Lanice.
Shannon is watching with some friends at a bar. Shannon is funny because she was so tense and high strung the whole season. And her line now is, I should have enjoyed it more. I was way too stressed for no reason. And yet her behavior does not change. Either in this video or, like, on the couch with Chris. Like, when Amanda calls her high maintenance in a clip from the show.
I thought this was cute.
She, like, shrieks, that was my roommate.
She's like, oh, she said that? That was my roommate. I actually found it quite adorable because clearly, and I'm pretty sure that the two of them are actually, like, you know, friendly now even.
Bigger rifts have been healed post-Bachelor.
So funny.
One of her friends is like, oh, did you kiss Alex on the cheek? And Shannon is like, he kisses you on the cheek. Let me just get that straight.
Obviously.
Like, okay, you are not having any more fun with this now. And she says he kissed her whole family on the cheek.
But not her dad.
But not
Chris
her
is
dad.
Like, he kissed your dad? Like, nothing more horrifying than a man greeting another man with a kiss on the cheek. Like, I don't know. What are you implying, Chris?
I don't know. Maybe Alex is just a little too friendly.
Oh, Jesus.
But Shannon is, like, feels very positive about having been on TV. I think that was a motivation for a lot of these women more so than getting married, which people, you know, maybe find degrading also in the world of 2002. But in 2019, we just see that as normal.
Yeah.
They intersperse throughout before commercial breaks fun facts.
I kind of like this. I'm like, they should do that again.
I love it. And also,
it's so
because
hilarious.
It was like, look at this crazy season of television we made. Like, here's what went into making it.
And now they're like, we want to tell you absolutely nothing about what went into making it.
I also loved that it didn't seem like most of the fun facts had been proofread. So there were just like glaring punctuation and grammatical errors in them. And I was like, oh, boy, they were just throwing this thing together. Not a single editor on staff. But the first fun fact we get is only 105 bottles of champagne consumed during filming. I have to assume it's a lot more now.
Well,
I can consume 105 bottles of champagne.
On your own?
On my own, just
yeah,
over the same period of time. not right now, obviously.
Except now they're limited.
Yeah, no, now they're limited. So. There were probably times when the contestants were just swimming in champagne.
Oh, absolutely.
And this is when Alexa mentions a moment on the show when Lanice said that some of the women who were going home were evil-spirited.
Which it seems like it was perhaps something that Lanice had said that they released in, like, a bonus clip online.
I don't remember seeing this.
No, I don't remember it. And Alexa even says, I'm not sure if it was in the show or if it was just online. So I think it was probably, like, a deleted scene.
Right. And Chris says, don't worry, Alexa. There will be a lot more about the cattiness of this group coming up. Moments when the claws came out.
Ugh, Chris. And, like, again, Alexa was not even, like, addressing this in a way that seemed like she was angry. She was just like, who was an evil spirit? What? I thought we were friends. Like,
all the women are trying so hard to be, like, jovial, and Chris is like, am I right? So after the commercial break, there's a montage of the women being quote-unquote catty. I have to say, like, Kathy is, like, the only one who says anything catty at all.
Yeah.
And I almost feel like she just has no filter at all. Kathy says, Alexa and I didn't really hit it off. I don't know what's up Alexa's butt, but I just try not to be around her, which is like...
That's whew. Like the harshest thing that someone says, though.
It seems like they were like, what do you think of all the women? And because we see her listing off like Shannon's little princessy, Trista's little fake, Amanda's a little too...
Wifey,
if that's a word. As we all know from Unreal, it's not only a word, it's maybe the most important word in Bachelor.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually like a real compliment.
Depends on your perspective, I guess.
In the world of the show.
Coming from production, I guess.
Yeah, coming from production. I personally would not want that compliment directed my way, but, you know.
Yeah. One of their examples of cattiness is Shannon on the first group date saying, you know, I've met some of my best friends here, and like waxing really emotional about it. And then cutting to her in a different moment on the date saying, what's her name? I can never remember her name about Angelique.
I was unclear about whether like the first part of that comment was even about Angelique.
It probably wasn't.
Yeah, I don't think it was.
She didn't say every single woman here is my best friend.
I was just confused. I was like, why? Like, this doesn't even seem bad at all.
Yeah.
But she just forgot her name.
If I were Angelique, I don't think I would be offended.
No, there was nothing to be offended by. That's so funny.
As I watched this montage, I was like, oh, after this season, they were like, we can't just wait to the editing room. We have to, like, actually make them mad at each other so that we have something to work with when we call them all catty bitches.
Right. And now they also have the incentive of, like, you have to, you know, really make an impression.
Right. In order to win the prize of paradise. So they all kind of defend their behavior, their horrible behavior. Alexa says, you know, I'm always very outspoken. Apparently she rubs some people in the house the wrong way, like Kathy.
Mainly Kathy.
But she's like, I try never to say anything I'd have to apologize for later. And I don't regret anything.
Chris is like, so you don't regret anything? She's like, no, like all I said was Kathy seems young. Like,
honestly, like there weren't even really any clips of Alexa saying anything.
No. Oh, no. There's one part that they played where she says, sometimes girls can be catty.
Oh, yeah.
Like, again, it's just by it's today's okay. standards.
It's okay when Chris says it, is all I'm saying.
But, you know, Alexa should have some regrets.
Lanice says, you know, with such a large group, not everyone's going to mesh.
True.
And she says, some girls were more easygoing. And then Kim says, too easygoing. And Lanice, like, gets offended. Lanice is like, what? What do you mean?
But obviously, Kim was doing a callback to her elimination.
Yes.
In which Alex said, Kim is just too laid back. She's too easygoing.
Too easygoing.
I think Lanice was just confused.
Oh, of course.
About what she was referencing.
Because I think Lanice was thinking of herself as one of the easygoing girls. Yeah. And she was like, why is Kim saying that that can be a bad thing?
But Kim, I thought that was another great moment for Kim. Like, she had a real sense of humor about the role that she kind of played on the season. And I really enjoyed it.
And I think it's interesting how Lanice is sort of analyzing the kind of personality clash that would not be looked at quite so with such awareness now that, you know, she's like, I'm not used to people who don't take any mess and who are a little more like
assertive.
And so I felt like they were being mean.
Yeah, she doesn't say they were mean. She's like, that's what I perceived. And right. I thought that was really interesting.
She's analyzing it in this like stepped back way that we like very rarely see now.
Well, because now it's like you have to tell someone they're a bad person in order to make an impression and get on another show.
Right. And they like whip people into such like a frenzy.
Yeah.
So Amy points out that just like chemistry between you and a guy, there can be chemistry between you and another girl. And I was like, oh, Amy, you're so close to saying something
so
very
wise.
Progressive. But in fact, you're talking about friendship. This was 2002. We didn't know about chemistry between two women at the time of
Who
any
knew?
Sort.
But she's like, yeah, like mostly everyone got along, which seems to be the case. None of them seem to be angry at each other. Chris is really sad. He keeps trying to push. He's like, but clicks. There were definitely clicks. And she's like, yeah, you know, but seems normal.
He's like, it's not normal. Men aren't like this. Men always get along. And he introduces some diehard fans to ask questions. I thought it was interesting that the first person they went with was a guy.
There were two out of the three that asked questions were white dudes.
I think there are more than three.
More than three. Although there were at least two dudes.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
This dude is named Trevor, and he asked Kim if she thinks Alex only kept her around because she made out with him. I will say the dudes who asked questions were very interested in the,
beautiful women
that Alex inexplicably cut. And she says, Alex didn't even know who I was until I made out with him. Trevor looks thrilled by this.
Now she's, and Kim is just kind of laughing. She's like, he didn't even know my name. But she doesn't regret it because he was a good kisser, which, like, good for you, Kim.
She's just going with
it,
living her life.
Yeah.
I loved that there was just this openness about being like, yes, that is exactly the sort of embarrassing thing that happened to me on the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, they never bring out Alex to confront the women, which is something that always happens now. So now something like that might be much more fraught and emotional. Like, Kim made it to hometowns, but then he said all these things behind her back that were sort of degrading.
Alex does not have to confront anything.
Now it would be like, Kim is distraught. Kim is like, why would you take me to hometowns?
If you didn't even know my name.
And he would be like,
why would you meet my family?
And this is just much more lighthearted. Like, she's like, what a weird thing to have happen that, like, I made out with him and suddenly he was like,
I'll meet your family.
it's really
fun to see people reacting in like a more tempered way.
Right. They know they don't have to they don't know that yet that they have to perform something in order to be picked as the bachelorette. Like, Kim would be a bachelorette front runner and she would have to like play up her heartbreak.
True.
So she wouldn't be able to have this kind of silly reaction. The things we lose along the way. A woman asked Shannon if she got to keep the jewels and dress from her Pretty Woman date.
I had assumed that she would get to keep the dress, but not the jewels.
Because they're
apparently,
like, here you go.
She gets to keep none of it, which seems like I would be pissed if I was told, the store is yours, have anything you want.
Right.
And then it was like, actually give it back.
That's kind of how I feel about Rent the Runway. and yet I keep giving them my money. This was Rent the Runway before they had even...
Yeah, the first iteration of Rent the Runway.
And she's like, but it was fun to play dress up. And Chris is like, well, it must have been really expensive. And she says, the jewelry was $350,000, which I think is the most somber tone anyone takes in the whole episode. She sounds like kind of devastated.
I mean, that is crazy.
She's like, that was really nice. Up next, find out which bachelorette passed out after drinking too many margaritas.
Again, not a thing they would, like, highlight with laughter.
No. How many women on the show have college degrees? Fun fact.
22.
22
so, like,
out of 25.
Almost all of them.
Yeah. That's credentialism right there.
Yeah.
Hate to see it.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, more from this epic first Women Tell All. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Lately, my social battery has actually been full to bursting. I feel like I've barely been able to see anyone all winter, especially with little kids at home and constant daycare bugs. And I'm just like dying to get out there and see some people. And, you know, it's actually been kind of hard at times over the winter to feel like I'm just desperate to see friends and I don't have time to do it.
I feel like we're constantly trying to regulate, like, what's the correct amount of social energy? What kind of space do we need to carve out to actually give ourselves the space to socialize? What space do we need to carve out to give ourselves time to actually recharge? Either way, therapy can give you some self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or store it up a little too much.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/love to see it today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/love to see it. If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all, like, weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, there's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or former Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
allomoves.com, code LTSI20. One in five Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list.
If, like us, that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better.
One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Oh man, could have saved so much time. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I recently was in France and Portugal, and I was trying my hand at getting more comfortable with French, really brushing up a little bit, and I found Babbel so helpful. I'm not going to say that I like arrived all fluent, but I did feel much more comfortable ordering food in restaurants, asking for directions, reading signs, speaking to people when I was buying something without having to constantly be consulting a language app.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners.
Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get 55% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI. Before we get back to the show, we have our final live show of 2019 coming. We'll be at the Bell House in Brooklyn on Thursday, November 21st to recap the season one finale, the end of Alex Michelle's journey to find love. You can find tickets at the link in our show notes.
And now, back to the show. More from Women Tell All. So we come back and Chris is like, everyone talks some trash, which, like, as we've seen, is certainly not true. But one girl really got ripped by everyone. Kathy, who gets the very first hot seat of the franchise.
I loved the opportunity to see Kathy, like, show off her styling. She, like, saunters up to the stage very performatively to sit next to Chris. She's just wearing, like, a magenta halter top. Denim capris, kind of light washed or medium washed denim capris, and slide sandals. Like, you would never wear the sequins.
You would never wear jeans.
Jeans, and not even jeans, like capris.
Oh, God, capris were a dark time.
Like, it's like day at the boardwalk outfit. It was just so relaxed and chill. But I do think she wanted to show off her new bosom.
I mean, there it looks great.
Yeah. And Chris asks if she agrees that she was too young to go on the show, which was the main thrust of, like, all the critique she received.
She's like, no, guys, I like to have fun.
She goes on to say that she just likes to have fun in, like, every answer to every question.
She's like, it's fun.
I like to have fun. Sue me. I like to have fun. But she's like, no, I was looking for a relationship. I'm still looking for a relationship. I think I have all the qualities any man is looking for. I really aspire to that confidence.
I aspire to that confidence, too. I'm like, I have the qualities no man is looking for.
Well, let's be realistic. Many of us have all the qualities some men are looking for. but most of us do not have all the qualities that any man is looking for. She's like, I surpass. Like, I appeal to everyone, all demographics.
It's like a real, it's a feat.
So then we see some outtakes on Kathy.
Where everyone's like, she's too young, including Alex's rando friend, Sam.
Yeah. He's like, if I had to exclude someone, it would be Kathy. Which, honestly, if my, like,
yeah,
30,
that makes sense.
I'm married, I'm 31 or 32, my buddy is like, what about this 22-year-old who, like, is still very much in, like, a college party mode?
Yeah, I'd be like,
I don't know if that's going to mesh with us. We see lots of the women talking about how young she is.
Yeah, we're Alex's age. I don't want my male friends to be dating, like, a very recent graduate.
Yeah.
It would be weird.
I understand where Sam is coming
Me
from
too.
Here. But on the other hand, he
all the other women are 23.
He loved Amanda, so. Who is 23. Kathy loves margaritas, so we see where this is going, thanks to the teaser from before the commercial break.
She makes a giant, like, vat of margs. She's just pouring a whole handle of tequila in there. I mean, respect.
And then she drinks directly from the pitcher. This brought back, I'm sure for many people this would bring back memories of our younger selves. For me, it was my sister-in-law's bachelorette party a few years ago, where I was supposed to make tacos for dinner and then had so many margaritas that we made in the blender that
that you didn't make it to dinner?
I didn't make it to making. I think we all just ate tortilla chips.
Yeah, that sounds correct.
Melted. But, you know.
That's making me really want some nachos right now.
Yeah, it was a really good night. And Kathy knows how to have fun. Fun is drinking an entire pitcher of margaritas and then having nachos and then passing out on the bathroom floor, which is what ends up happening. We see all the women go check on her. They can't see under the door, but it turns out she was passed out in the bathroom for a little while. I have to say, this wouldn't maybe happen now because of the drink limits that were put in place a couple years ago. It would have happened a few years ago, and it would have been played so differently. Like, they would be calling paramedics. There would be, like, can Alex come talk to her?
Or, like, everyone would have just been extremely offended that she missed out on an evening, you know, a la Corinne.
I have to say, I feel like often something like this would be spun as an emotional meltdown.
Yeah.
Like, they would be like, she's passed out in the bathroom. Can we turn this into she's so upset that
about
things aren't going well
something.
With Alex?
Yeah.
But there are a lot of things they could do, and instead they're just like, let's get some goofy B-roll of the women, like, peeking in the window.
I loved it. I want more of – bring this spirit back to the show.
And fortunately,
I mean,
she's
not
okay.
The, like, abusive alcohol. I'm not,
right.
know, endorsing
no.
that.
Pump the women full of tequila. And we see more of her cheer and dance routines, which we already caught a glimpse of during the season. And Chris is like, look – we all love you, sure, but looking at all that, you can see why the other girls thought you were wrong for Alex, right?
And she just sidesteps this and again is like, I like to have fun, you guys.
She likes to have fun and she doesn't care who knows it. But everyone is laughing, you know, like it's very lighthearted. Chris asks if she regretted anything she did since maybe it impacted her relationship with Alex.
She's like, nah, I'm not into him.
Yeah, like, why would I care about impacting my relationship with Alex? Like, who
She's
cares?
Like, I want to be his buddy, but, like, I don't want to marry the guy. It's
yeah.
so great. It's so refreshing.
It's so rarely these days do you right. actually hear from a woman on a taped segment that she – because also I feel like they would edit it out if they did say it because –
yeah, or
they
want to
maintain the fantasy.
It would be spun as like a failing on her part.
Yeah. And then Chris brings up the beef with Alexa and makes a joke that I want to call out here. He's like, Alexa's like shifting in her seat. She's like, I'm going to come down there and beat you, woman.
Ugh, gross.
That's like a very weird.
It's gross on so many levels. And also like. It's a completely inaccurate description of the energy between these two women.
Yeah.
They just were like, we don't want to live together.
Yeah. Violent. Not wanting to live together is violence. There were some really weird undertones to that.
Very gross.
Joke that I did not care for. But the women really, really brush it off. And are just like, we didn't really have much in common. We don't really know each other, whatever. And Alexa says, you know, I was never really a big drinker, even when I was like Kathy's age. And Kathy's like, come on, guys, I was just bored.
I'm sure she
I'm
was.
I'm fun. Also, I ran 56 miles that
Where
week.
Where was she running? Did they did they let them off the property?
I assume.
Like, they must have been allowed to, like,
run
around Malibu, which
I mean, what were they going to do back then? They didn't have smartphones.
Well, they don't have smartphones now. They just are stuck in the
house. You could hide one.
Yeah.
In your butt or something.
They're, like, stuck in the house now, though, and they have to do their exercise, like, running around the house.
I just feel like there was more freedom back when technology didn't exist that you could easily, like,
record and catch these moments. True.
And you couldn't easily, like, once you got away from the house,
see something
or
get
point. Somewhere. Like, she couldn't call an Uber even if she had, like, stashed a phone in her bra. I just also love the idea that it's like, yes, I drank a whole pitcher of margaritas and passed out. On the other hand, I ran 56 miles. These are two things that should be weighted against each other. In order to produce an evaluation of my character, which I agree, and I think she comes out on top. Chris asks her what's new with her, and this is when she points out that she enhanced herself in the chest region. She's like, I always wanted them, and it wasn't happening naturally, so you fix your car, I fixed myself.
Good for you, Kathy.
They would just never talk about it now.
No.
It would be unspoken. There would be so many side-by-side photos of her chest before and after on creepy blogs. This is when we find out the number of women Alex made out with. 7.
Very low.
Pretty low.
That's like basically zero by today's standards.
Yeah.
At this point, The Bachelor would make out with 7 women like within the first 2 dates.
Yeah.
Like the first night.
Yeah. And Rhonda hits the hot seat at this point. Reminder that Rhonda left the show very dramatically, had sort of an anxiety attack or panic attack during her exit interview, and an ambulance was called. And she tells a sort of different story of how this went down. She says, you know, I knew I wasn't getting a rose because of a comment Alex made. And he's like, what comment? And she said, you know, I just said something about lip gloss. I'm dying to know exactly what this comment was.
And he was rude back to her.
Yeah, he said something sort of rude in response.
So I guess she was perceptive.
I need to know what this exchange was.
I know. I'm sure it was something throwaway, but I can picture, like, I've been in that situation with someone that I'm dating where you say something lighthearted and they kind of snap back at you and you're like, oh.
Yeah, like you're not feeling this.
Oh, this is not. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not good.
So she, at that point, was like, okay, so I'm probably not getting a rose because he feels, like, comfortable speaking to me that way. He's not, like, trying to impress me. He's not feeling me. And she's like, I started to feel angry, and I was wondering why I stayed and put myself through all of this.
Because it was emotionally taxing.
Yeah. And she was like, I thought that I was fine to go home. I thought I was glad even. Got through the rose ceremony, and I thought I felt great about it, but then I was doing the interview and I started to get really emotional. I was feeling angry, I was feeling upset, I was having trouble breathing, and I have asthma, so I got scared, and then it just spiraled.
So basically,
from
she
there.
Started getting anxiety from her light anxiety attack and then made it worse, which is definitely a real thing.
It definitely happens.
Yeah,
I still love how incredibly theatrical she was about it. I feel like
incredible.
The fact that she was able to do that in a moment when she probably was like genuinely pretty scared and freaked out, just proves why she was a great choice for television.
Yeah, Rhonda's a gem.
I love her. And Christina also loves her. We might remember Christina as the person that Alex thought was just like his girlfriend, but then he dumped her. And
Christina seems absolutely lovely. I think she's a lawyer. She seems cool. And she's the one who in her exit interview said nothing about Alex and was just like, I hope Rhonda's okay. I'm worried for her.
Yeah, she was like, I was much more worried about Rhonda's well-being than my breakup with Alex. I just, Rhonda's so great. People don't understand.
And Christina
all my friends
says,
here are so
yeah,
great.
It was so sweet. She's like, I've just been defending everyone. I assume to like the general public. She's like, don't talk about my friends. You don't know them. It was very sweet.
Number of miles traveled by the bachelor on land, sea, and air to pursue the woman of his dreams. It sounds as if she's running away, like Carmen Sandiego, and he's pursuing her around the world.
Like
and he
that.
Had to travel 19,859 miles.
I mean, wow.
Yeah.
Just.
If you have to travel that many miles to catch a woman, you know, she doesn't want to be caught, is all I'm saying. Shannon is next. Chris calls her America's sweetheart.
That seems like a stretch.
It's just, it's crazy to me to imagine how differently Shannon would be framed if she were on the show now. Like, she was so prickly. She was so, like, closed off. She was so demanding of Alex. She didn't even seem to like him. You can't be America's sweetheart on The Bachelor now unless you're, like, gentle, sweet, always smiling, and, like, obsessed with The Bachelor. Like, that's kind of the America's sweetheart formula now. And he asked her if the envelope in Tahoe, the fantasy suite envelope, was the straw that broke the camel's back. And she's like, look, Alex knows where I stand. I like to go slow. I didn't know the envelope was coming, and so maybe I would have handled it better if I did. And I would have just said, I don't want to spend the night, but let's, like, hang out for a little bit in the cabin. It's true that, like, we get such different reactions from the women because they have never had the opportunity to see the show before.
Right. They're not prepared for it at all.
Yeah.
Which is really only a problem that the first season could have.
She does always manage to have a comment, though. Like, she says this so many times with Alex. It's like, I knew this was going to happen with you. Like, she says that to him, like, every time sex or an overnight comes up in any context.
Yeah, as though it's something specific to him.
And I'm like, I don't think that she did know this was going to happen.
I mean, it seems like the crux of it was just that she never trusted Alex.
Yeah.
Which I understand, because he often did say things that felt insincere. But also, like, why did you stay?
Right. Like, it's like
she's like, I hated him the whole time. I brought him to meet my family.
She was like, I feel like she felt like he had so many things that she wanted on paper.
And it was the same with him.
Yeah. Like, they're both like, this is the type of person I want. And yet all my hackles go up around them. Maybe if I stay, the hackles will go down and it'll be perfect. And Chris tries to convince her, you know, like, he even told me, Chris Harrison, that he was smitten with you. Like, he was really trying to open up to you and be sincere. And Shannon was like, no, I was being open, but he was not reciprocating, really. And so I put up walls. And I didn't want to give myself to a guy for nothing. And Chris was like, but he really was trying. And she's like, no.
No. I loved it.
She's amazing. He brings up her exit. He says, Rhonda's exit was dramatic. Yours was a 10.
I mean, her exit was iconic.
Really great. And she had this moment where she turns around on the way to the limo and goes back and asks him why he's letting her go. And she says, well, on our last date, I think she's referencing the conversation they had in the chalet.
Yeah, which we don't really see.
We don't really see. But Alex had said himself, you know, like, I managed to calm Shannon down about the fantasy suite envelope.
And I think I overdid it.
I think I overdid it. She's going to feel really betrayed now if I let her go, which is clearly what happened. She says, you know, I was honest with him that I wasn't sure if I should stay, that I was having a really hard time. And Alex didn't really respond to that, but he really led me to believe that I'd be meeting his parents and that he wanted to keep me around. And so as I walked to the limo, I was like, wait a minute. Like, why did he say all that stuff and then
do
this?
And, like, he should have to answer to some of this, which I appreciated because this is the only time. This is the only scenario in basically the whole season where Alex has to answer for his behavior.
Yeah. And, like, I really want Trista to get to confront him in an episode and be like, why did you say I would pick you?
But she
like
does not.
One day before the proposal.
There was no after the final rose.
And Chris asks about Avery, Shannon's dog, and she is doing well, or she was in 2002, which I'm sorry to say.
Look,
for
let's
all
not
of our
think
pet
about
lovers.
It.
Okay. So next, a fan.
Avery's still going strong.
I'm sure she is. She seemed like a young, healthy dog. A fan named Daphne asks Shannon if she's happy she stuck to her morals. And Shannon says she watched the part where Alex asked her about sex with her mom, who told her that she couldn't be prouder, so she knows she handled it right.
I mean, I guess live your truth, girl. But yeah. Also, it's not that. I stand by my, you know, opinion that it is not weird to go on a dating show and expect that perhaps you're going to have to speak a little bit to your philosophy on sex and dating.
Yeah.
Not like explicit details, but, you know.
Yeah, I feel that that was a conversation that could have been handled
differently,
much more productively. But it's clear also where she gets this sense of how she should behave in relationships from, because apparently her family is quite conservative about these things, which
each their own.
Exactly. So another fan asked Melissa a great question. Why were you so confident about getting a rose? Melissa, went before she was sent home, was basically like,
he's going to pick me.
He's going to give me a rose tonight. I know it. And Alyssa said, you know, he said a lot of things, but like he talked about how we'd both gone to Cabo San Lucas and we loved it. And he had said to her that when they got down to single dates, he wanted to pull some strings and take her to Cabo San Lucas.
Alex is such a little shit.
What a wild thing to say to someone that like
you have. And he's saying to the camera, like, Melissa's not really doing it for me.
Right. It's not like something happened. Like the whole time he's being like, on paper, Melissa seems great, but like I just feel nothing for her. And to her, he's like, I will do anything to take you to Cabo San Lucas, baby.
And then apparently he was also like complimenting her boobs,
which
he seems obsessed with.
Yeah.
Like breasts in general.
Yeah. It's the thought of someone just like that.
Ew.
I have just started dating being like,
great
those
tits.
Things on your chest. I love them. Not for me. But it does seem to show interest, so I can't really blame her.
I cannot
for being
blame
taken
her
aback.
Either.
And then a male fan tries to ask Angelique out. Chris is like, no numbers will be exchanged. And I was like, wait, 15 years, you'll be begging for men to come on stage and give their numbers to these women just for a little stunt. And he asks her if she's seen her dating life improve. And she's like, you know, I sort of thought that being on TV and being like, I'm available, that it would kind of help. But no one's really reached out to me.
And you're like, wow, yeah, this will continue. Great
yeah.
for men, not great for the women.
Yeah. Katie is like, well, I've been getting setups constantly, but the guys are very weirded out that I wanted to marry someone on TV.
And she's like, no, I didn't want to marry him. Like,
but like all of her like mom's like friends are probably like, my
I have
nephew,
a man for you.
Yes, my husband's intern. Now we have the persona of like that girl really wants a husband, and. That's kind of the end of the catch
up,
the hot seats.
Then we kind of go into, because I think that this aired on right before the finale aired, when it was first airing. So we get a kind of callback to Alex's, you know, relationship trajectories with both Trista and Amanda, his final two. Mm-hmm. And when it's done, we see that Kim, poor sweet Kim, has started choking up with emotion about how much she loves Amanda. So sweet.
I was really taken aback
by
that.
It was really wild.
This was like the first time that anyone on stage seemed to be taking seriously the possibility that someone could be in love with Alex. And she's really like, Amanda's so great. I hope she's the one. And Shannon's like, no, I'm going to cry. And I was like, Shannon, I thought you really wanted to marry Alex like yesterday. But she's on board with the Amanda train. Chris asks if anyone hopes it's Trista. And only Amber.
Is it only Amber? I thought there was like another one or two, like smattering of people that are inconsequential.
I didn't see anyone else.
It was, let's just say it was very weighted towards Amanda.
Yes. And
so
it seems like.
I wonder what the deal was. It didn't seem like you know, anyone had like a very clear issue with Trista, but I wonder if she was just a little more aloof. She clearly was not, did not bond in the same way.
With the other women.
Yeah, with other women.
Yeah. Amber says she thinks that Trista gets a bad rap for being guarded, but she has, you know, taken a leap and opened up.
Which is true.
On the process. Melissa says that Trista's just like a high school crush for Alex, and he and Amanda seem like they could have a really lifelong connection. Amy says Amanda really compliments him. I see what they're all saying.
Yeah.
The problem is, can Alex have a lifelong connection with
anyone? No.
Especially these two out of the 25 women.
I do think they have picked up on something, which is that he is like obsessed and enamored in a very kind of like puppy love sort of way with Trista.
Yeah.
And he does get along really easily with Amanda in a way that feels a little bit more real. The problem is that he's not a great person to be in a relationship with.
I also think it's just sort of like naive, and it reminds me of like some kind of Wonderful plot or something of like, what if someone could just realize that
they've been in love with you,
that what's better for them and what makes them happier is the person that they just get along with really well and not the person they have a crazy crush on. But like in reality,
the crush matters.
The crush matters. It's very hard to like convince yourself to be equally or more into the person that you don't have a crazy crush on.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's what Alex, you know, has to grapple with is like, is he going to like give in to the crush, or is he going to do the sensible thing? But if you're doing the sensible thing and what you really kind of want to do is give in to the crush, that doesn't bode well for that.
It's exactly why we saw Ari like do the switcheroo on his season.
Exactly. And he went with the crush, and you know what? Now they have a baby.
Yeah, good for them.
And this is sort of the end of the show. And what's happening next? The finale. This was like a directly pre-finale special. And they're all about to watch Alex make this momentous decision that will surely define the rest of his life. And if you want to find out what happens next and you haven't been watching, this season is available on TubiTV.com, and we will be recapping that finale episode.
At our show.
At our show, Thursday, November 21st, with Aaron Dark and, again, a very special guest who has been mentioned during this recap, who you will definitely want to hear from. We can't wait. We hope to see a lot of you there.
And now it's time for a few quick feminism fails.
It's just not an episode without a feminism fail or two. First, we want to call out the moment when Chris frames the fact that all these women were not best friends as cattiness and claws coming out. It's really crazy to see the narrative strain to frame some pretty normal just non-friendship friction, just interpersonal friction of a pretty mild nature as some sort of female-coded, like, misbehavior. And that's it, because they do such a bad job selling how much the women mistreated each other, which was not much at all. It's even more blatant how just, like, misogynistic and gross this framing is. So I'm going to give that a 5.
And then we have Chris. All these feminism fails start with Chris. Interjecting after Melissa kind of tactfully says, you know, Alex had like complimented certain parts of my body, and that also led me to believe that he would be keeping me around. And Chris is like, wait. What body parts did he compliment? And like forces Melissa to be like, my breasts. But like, she's like, you know, like Kathy.
Yeah.
That's what she says. She doesn't even want to say it. And it was just really gross. Chris was kind of like leering. So I'm going to give that one a 4. These women are more than their very aesthetically pleasing body parts.
And I do want to call back to a moment when we hear from Amy about how two women can actually have chemistry as friends. And this was a very well-intentioned and of its time moment for Amy to make. But of course, doesn't really acknowledge what was known at the time, it was only like 17 years ago, that women can obviously have chemistry. Any two people can have chemistry, romantic or otherwise. And that is kind of erased from the way they talk about romance on this show.
And continues and to be continues erased to be for many years.
In many ways. So I'm going to give that a 3. Sorry, Amy, you seem lovely. And that's it for our feminism fails, I think.
And that's it for this episode of Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our producers, Nick Offenberg and Sarah Patterson.
Please subscribe to Here to Make Friends wherever you listen to podcasts. We have one more live show coming. We'll be at the Bell House in Brooklyn on Thursday, November 21st to recap the long-awaited finale with our extremely, extremely exciting surprise guest that we can't wait to talk to. And Aaron Dark will be recapping with us. You can get tickets to the show at the link in our show notes.
You can also give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram at Here to Make Friends Pod.
And you can follow us individually on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emma Lady Rose.
We'll be back soon to share our final live show.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.